Let's open our Bibles, and tonight we're beginning the 8th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. And it's been a sweet meditation upon this portion of Scripture. And it does have much to do with, don't get me wrong, with basically the collection of tithes and monies for the furtherance of the gospel and also to help brothers and sisters in times of need, absolutely. But I have to tell you, I'm just so thankful that the Lord has just impressed upon my heart, this is the abundant working of His grace in this chapter. And I think by His grace, we're going to find that out tonight, that there's things on the surface, brothers and sisters, and then there's things that God gives us in His infinite mercy. And when we're willing, and again, it's by His grace, it's nothing of us, when we're willing to say, Lord, allow us to get into the deep things of God. You know, search it, praise the Lord. You know, He comes through, and He does, and that's what He wants for us. So tonight I am encouraged that God is going to bring us something that I hope will, again, take us to more of His depth of His love. All right, so beginning here in chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. That means we want to make known of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, this area of Macedonia is very important to understand, that these churches that he's speaking of there are none other than Thessalonica, the church of Berea. Remember those sweet Berean saints? Those were the ones that searched the Scriptures to see if those things were so. They weren't just told these things. They were encouraged of the Word of God and of the Lord to go into the Word of God to say, are these things true? And I was encouraged just even thinking of that again, how, you know, brothers and sisters, we can hear these things, we can know these things, but they have to be real to us. They have to be real to you individually. Your faith is between you and the Lord. It's not through somebody else. It's not through a study. It's not through any of these things. It's between you and your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It has to be made real to you. These truths, it's precious. We can talk about them. But by the grace of God, again, He has to develop that love and this passion that He wants us to have for Him and for His Word. But also, it was the church of Philippi. So again, we got the sweet Philadelphia saints here. So, as he's saying this, we want to make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. This is who he's speaking of. These were the ones that, by the grace of God, he was able to expound the very depth, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And notice here in this first verse, he is not commending the churches. He's not talking about these people. He's not talking about the churches. He's talking about the grace of God to the churches. And that's where it all starts, that's all where it all continues, and that's where it all will continue on. It never ends, it's just a continuing. It is the grace of God, and that's the work of God. It's God's favor towards us, and any and all good works, and any and all good report that will ever come out of our life is all by the grace of God. So, I believe that there's that wonderful foundation to go on. So now that we have no knowledge of this grace and that this is the thing that is bringing forth the pleasing of the Lord in our lives, we see that this grace now brings this out in verse 2. And here's the understanding of this grace. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. See, this is a miracle that's found in the impossible. And I think that's really what grace does. It brings out the miracle in the impossible. Listen to what this very first thing is saying here. It brought in great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy. See, only God can do that. And this is knowing that that is the very will and word of God. This is Brother Paul and what he will praise the Lord for. He understood that it was the being made weak, which was the glory in his life, to be afflicted, the infirmities. He even learned that by the grace of God, I should even pray for these things to come into my life, because that's when the very power of Christ is resting upon my life. Now you think of this. In this world today, And what we really hear pretty much, and I will say this, pretty much, if you turn your channel in any type of preaching that we hear today, this is not the preaching from the pulpit. That, I'll tell you how to have joy here, brothers and sisters. Let's get great trial of affliction. And here's how we get rich in our freedom and generosity unto the Lord. Let's get deep in poverty. Huh? Now come on. Be honest with yourself. What are you hearing? This is the Word of God speaking to us. If we really want to go with God's best. And I don't know about you. I really am convinced there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's real. Absolutely it's real. I was thinking as we were singing that complete, the fullness of salvation. Praise the Lord. I am expecting even maybe this evening He's going to save me right out of this place. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Completeness. Saved from that tribulation that's coming upon all the world. But what we're hearing from these pulpits is, well, the way to great joy is to abound in material things. The way to great generosity and liberality, as this is saying here, is through increased goods or maybe big fanfare and all these big buildings and great TV shows and all of these different things. Now, praise God that He's given us a wonderful building. He's given us great facilities and all of the different things that He's brought into this place. But in spirit, brothers and sisters, we got to be right here. In spirit. And I hope people recognize that. I was telling a brother yet today, one of the greatest things in my life as the Lord brought me into the ministry that He had to show me. I thought, well, you know, Lord, I never really, in a sense, got to understand a life of a sinner. Now, I understand that truly I was a sinner. I was born that way, absolutely born in iniquity. Absolutely. And He had to save me just like everybody else. But to be honest with you, I don't remember anything in my life but Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that. Okay, I was so young when I got saved. Some of the things where people went out into the world and had troubles with drugs or alcohol and things, God kept me from. So I really got to thinking, well, Lord, how do I really relate to that? How do I really know? Well, you know what? You're not relating to a person anyways. I hope you first and foremost understand that. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one that is your deliverer. He's the one that is your relationship. He's the one that is your friend. And He's the one that's your counselor. So when we can be vessels of the Lord to bring forth that truth, first and foremost, that is going to do it. That is what it's going to be. But the sweet thing that He showed me in my life, and He said, son, if you'll just trust me, I'll take you everywhere you need to go in spirit. You may never have to go there by the grace of God, in a sense, in person, but I'll take your spirit everywhere it needs to go. I'll give you a good example of that. I don't think any of us will ever go physically as Brother Abraham did when he had to raise the knife over his son Isaac and said, Lord, I'm trusting you to this point. Actually, he was going to go all the way through, wasn't he? Praise God. God brought him to that point. Now, has He brought us to that point in spirit? Are we willing to go without family? Are we willing to leave, in a sense, our loved ones? Are we willing to say, Lord, if it's to go after you, I'm going to leave my spouse. I'm going to leave my kids. All of those things. God forbid, I don't think He would ever want us to do that. Don't get me wrong. But in spirit, He wants me to have that affection and desire toward Him. Lord, whatever it takes, I want your best. Do you follow me on this? Where God wants us to go with Him? He'll take us there. He'll take you there. He'll take you in the wonderful spirit through these experiences and these moments of great trial and testing, even with these brothers and sisters of like faith that we read about here. So again here it says, in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. So see this tribulation that they were facing. And in Acts 18:17, it showed a lot of that stuff, that these people were looked down upon, they were persecuted, they were beaten. But hallelujah, there was joy coming out of all of it. Just like those sweet brothers, when they were beaten because of the Lord, they were out there rejoicing and said, oh, can you imagine that? We just suffered for His name's sake. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, they knew the glory that was there. They knew the treasure. See, what I want to do is I want to know the Word of God. I really do. By the grace of God, I want to know His Word. I want to know what the riches are. I don't want this fluff stuff that I'm hearing that's being piped out that tells me this is going to make you feel good. It may make you feel good for a moment, but feel good's not going to get it done. It's faith that's going to be established in your life that is going to win God's best. That's going to win, praise God, in a sense, His hand, my hand, in a sense, in marriage. That's the calling of this wonderful Word of God, and that is what we need by His grace in our lives. So this riches of their liberality, obviously it does mean generosity. Yes, it does mean that they were to be more giving, but see, it was the passion for the truth that caused them to be giving. See, God's got to work in us first before we can ever distribute anything else out. And that's the thing that I hear so much again, and I guess I'm just kind of full of it tonight, but I've been a little bit burdened again with some of the things that I continue to hear. And it does hurt your heart. We're going to pump out missionaries, and we're going to pump out all these things. They're sending out people that don't know anything about the Word of God. You have to be ministered to. Listen about sweet brother Paul, all the years that he was ministered to of the Lord, of those different saints that brought him the truth before he opened his mouth. He had to be enlarged first, as we've been reading, before he could give out the Word of God. But that's not the approach out anymore, is it? We're just going to get out there, and we're going to get out there. Remember, this is for the care of the churches. We're in the church age. This is to produce the very mature sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord where He is, again, bringing our faith to. Now, verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I've never seen such things in this small little verse. And it's one of the richest verses to me that I've been reading in a long time of what the Lord's been bringing out. And I have to tell you, I looked at that word power, and the Lord just hit me. Little strength, son. Little strength. Isn't that wonderful? Their power. And you know what, sister? He had me go and look up that word power, and He had me look up that word strength, and you know what? They're the same word. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? See, that's God. And where I mean about that little strength there is in Revelation 3:8, where it talks about that Philadelphia church. That's the full overcomer church. That's the church that represents that wonderful bride of Christ that will be raptured, that will be taken, praise God, before the tribulation. I will keep you from the hour of tribulation, praise God, or that hour of temptation. We understand that of what the Word of God is telling us. And it's because they had a little strength. Now again, let's go back and remember, who is this? These churches of Macedonia. They're Philippi. They're the Berean saints. These are the full overcomers. These are the ones that are in being dealt with by the will and the Word of God to win His best. Look what we have here. Look what God is bringing us here. But again, this power that they have. They have this strength. And Paul says, I bear record. I'm witnessing this. It was beyond their power. And see, that's what the grace of God does. It takes us beyond us, doesn't it? See, the grace of God takes you beyond you. That's the beautiful thing. Lord, I can't go no more. Right where I want you. I'll take you beyond you. That's the power of Christ. Praise God. That's what He wants to work in us. It's not me. It's you, Lord. It's you that's doing the work. I am your workmanship. Praise God. It is your vessel. You're the master molder, and you are taking this clay and forming it after your will by the grace of God. And this is what that wonderful grace did beyond themselves. They were willing of themselves. So the grace of God, brothers and sisters, makes us willing. See, I don't go out there and say, well, I'm just going to be accountable to you, Lord, because that's who I am. And I'm just going to go serve you, Lord, because that's what I'm going to do. You have to be drawn. You have to be called. Praise God. We have to realize that we're dealing with God here, and whom He foreknew. Oh, I love that. Whom He foreknew, then He predestinated. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. That we should walk in these good works that He foreordained. He molded that path for you and me before He ever set a star in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to God. How He thinks of us. And what He thinks of us. Praise the Lord, what He's offering. Oh, I was looking at those stars and was thinking again how it wasn't until, I think it was somewhere around the 1970s, I believe it was, until they realized how many stars there were out there. That they were just infinite. That, you know, there's as many stars as the sands of the sea. Who told us that a long time ago? See, if you just read your word, it was already there. Could that brother have seen that with his eyes when he was looking up there writing? Oh, no. It was the Holy Spirit telling him, son, let me tell you something. It's as innumerable as the sands of the sea. And maybe even more so. Praise God. I don't know. But that's your Lord. See, makes me excited that He cares for me. But see, we must, what this verse is also telling us, is we must give ourselves to God, in a sense. We must give ourselves to God before we can ever have anything given through us. It's that same purpose that He has to work in me. It's got to be my own before I can give it to somebody else. It has to be. A lot of people want to just start again, going at it. It's precious to have a zeal for the things of God, but let the Spirit give you utterance. Let Him move your life. Let Him make that way of intercession for you before the Lord and before one another, that we would move, praise God, in that spirit of love. All right, verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty. That means appealing to us, these Macedonian saints, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this is so precious. I think Paul is taken back. He's taken back by these people. He's just like, I can't believe what's going on here. Look what the Word of God is doing. And I had to tell you, I thought of Jesus Christ when that sweet man came to Him and asked Him to heal his servant. Isn't that precious? And the Lord said, okay, well, let's go. And He says, oh, no, Lord, You just speak it. And the Lord was just taken back and said, oh, such great faith. Isn't that wonderful? I haven't seen in all Jerusalem. It's so wonderful that you believe me like that. But it was just like Paul, I got to thinking how he was so impressed and so excited about these brothers and sisters in their state, glorying in the Lord. See, Paul knew this state, but when others were going after God in that way, there was nothing better to him. This, as you can read this, this is like Paul opening the present of presents that he ever wanted to have. Was people that loved the Lord. People that truly were going after God's best. And I believe the Lord is bringing that love in our lives, brothers and sisters. I believe that He is having us have an attraction for that like nothing else. That there truly is a passion for the things of God. Not only in our lives, but for one another. That we do care. We do look upon the needs of one another. And especially in running the race to finish with joy. So again, he says that in that we would appeal that you would receive this gift. These people were so generous that Paul paused. What these people were doing, they had nothing. But they were still taking their nothing or whatever they had. And they were giving it to Paul. And what they were giving it to Paul for was so that he could go out and minister to other saints. They were saying, Paul, we want to give you whatever we have so you can go share the gospel with other people. And they had nothing. They didn't have anything. But anything they did have, they gave to this brother to go for the furtherance of the gospel. But Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Hill used to talk about this. And yes, this has so many different layers of meanings here. We can see that. But I don't believe, and being very sincere with you, to be stingy, it's not going to win God's best. People, again, they talk to me and they say, well, how much do I give? Should I give, you know, a tenth? Should I give a fifth? Should I give this? Is it after tax or before? Is it, you know, I'm sitting there going, my goodness. Okay, now wait a second here. First and foremost, let the Lord show you that everything that you have, anything that you are, it's His. Do you realize that? It's His. Now, No, I'm not going after what you have. I hope you understand that. I think you know me by now. But I do want you to be encouraged of the Lord and let Him move you in spirit as to how, when, and what to give. It's important. And sometimes you will give more. It's true. Because the Lord will move you that way. And more than what? More than what He has already caused in your heart to give. How's that? That's between you and the Lord. And it is an essential part of your worship and your praise and your walk with the Lord. Absolutely is your tithing into the storehouse. It's vitally important, brothers and sisters. It is. And it was sweet. I was speaking with Brother Hawkins one time, and he knew of a minister. And he was sharing this with me as I got into the ministry. And he said, you know, I knew a minister that came into the ministry, and he was a very, very, very wealthy man. And he was so wealthy he could support his own meeting. And he thought in his own goodness what he needed to do was he would just go ahead and support the whole meeting. And he told the congregation or the people that would come, he said, you don't need to tithe because it's covered. Now you'd say, well, that was a nice gesture and that was really good. But see, the problem was, is he was actually interfering with their worship with the Lord. And I think when I read about brothers and sisters of like faith, and I'm talking about Berean saints, I'm talking about the Church of Philadelphia saints, you know, those are examples. That brotherly love needs to come into this life like that. I want to have that kind of compassion. And more importantly, passion for the Lord, that He'll cause me to will and to do of His good pleasure. Moving with God. All right, let's go on. So in verse 5, and this they did, not as we had hoped, meaning not as we expected. This was beyond our hope. Again, this was Paul just being so surprised of what God was doing in their life. But first gave their own selves to the Lord. And that's the first thing. Always is going to, again, before you ever give anything else, before you'll ever be used of the Lord. And everybody says, what can I do for God? How is God going to use me? Listen to the word of God. Give yourself to the Lord. And you know why? Because as a child of God, you are not your own anyways. Get over it. Huh? I'm so thankful. And I know pretty definitely when that moment in my life was. And I tell you many times, it's about 17, I don't want to tell you where I was, but I can tell you it wasn't a good place. But I was 17 years old. And I know that's when the Lord really said, son, give yourself to me. And I knew him since probably 4 or 5 years old, filled with the Holy Spirit, 12. But I'd never given myself to the Lord. Never really given myself over to the things of God. And it was at that moment, at that time, I understood to say, Lord, I'm yours. Praise God, I'm yours. And then it took a while, but you know what I realized? He's mine.
That's right.
Isn't that exciting? He's mine. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. He's mine as well. It's such a joint relationship that we have with Christ. But I don't want to get off on that. But again, they gave their own selves to the Lord. And that is the only thing, truly, that we can ever give to God, is ourself. And you know what? That's the only thing God wants. He just wants you. Doesn't want anything else. He just wants you. And then He performs all of the things that He needs to do. I love it. I think that, again, He's prepared this wondrous instrument. And Lord, You play it. You bring out the melody. You bring out the music. You bring out all of the goodness that You want to bring through this life. Praise God. So again, and they did that. And unto us by the will of God. Now see, this is an important extra thing is that they're talking about here. This is that true submission. I'd like you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. That's Hebrews 13, verse 17. And it says there, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So again, brothers and sisters, as God appoints, And he does. And he appoints these ones. You have to trust that God is the one in control, that he does that which is right, that you know what? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I had to believe that very well for you. Because when he said, you, I thought there was somebody else over there. And I was looking. And I said, no, son, I'll use you if you want me to, if you want to have my best. I told you about that. And praise the Lord. I had a very short discussion with the Lord. Well, Lord, I'm not able. And he says, I know you're not, but I am. And I remember that I am thing. Huh? I am. Okay, I get that. Praise God. But he showed me so sweetly that that it's his work and that he's the one that's faithful. And it's been the most exciting time. And I look for more exciting times if the Lord tarry. Praise the Lord. All right. So we submit to that. Verse 6, going back to our text. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. And I love this. They keep bringing back the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God. What a chapter about the grace of God. So see, he wants this liberty for this the church of Corinth. And he wanted the Lord to take control of everything. And here we've got Titus again. And remember that name, Titus means nurse, bringing in the aid. And how God, again, all of these things have such deep meaning and they have such perfect meaning. And it's always perfectly on time. And here comes Titus. And I'm so thankful as we've been studying through Corinthians. Look at where they started and look at where the Lord is encouraging and has brought them to. He's starting to deal with them about the deepest things of God. And you think of what a mess he had to start with. I know that's not us. Huh? Praise God. But see, he kept dealing with him. He was faithful. He never gave up on him. Never gave up on him. Okay? Know that the Lord is never going to give up on you. He's not. He's not. He knows. He knows what you need. And he loves you. And he will continue to deal with you. And remember, he's going to deal with you as a son. Isn't that precious? Because you're his son. I'm so thankful as he does that. I appreciate the love that the Lord has shown me naturally for my dad's love for me and my love for my sons. It's a tremendous thing. All right. But again, grace received here. See, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. This brings me back to the thought of what we've been reading about a couple times over when he said, Brother Paul said, remember the grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Do you remember when he said that? He said, it wasn't in vain. It wasn't just in emptiness. And you think about the grace of God. The grace of God is there for every man to receive. It's there, right? Because his son, his only begotten son, died upon that cross. So I'm thankful that when we, and I believe, I'm sure everybody in here has accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. When you came to that moment, absolutely, praise God, that grace was not received in vain. You accepted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Savior. Praise be to God. But then that was just the beginning. Because now he's moving you through into this abundance of grace. This abundance of grace to say, you know what? Everything, everything of mine is yours. I want to give it all to you. Look at that veil is gone. You can go right into the throne room. And here's what I want you to find in there. Yes, everything for every need that you could ever have. Any trial that you face. I'm full sufficiency. I am. I'm full sufficiency for you. But I want you to see something here even more importantly than all of these things. I want you to see the joint heirship. I want you to see that I want you to go after the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to go after Christ in me is the hope of glory. I want to bring you into a oneness with me. And I appreciated a sweet sister that we were talking about how in Esther, yes, it says half the kingdom. I don't want anybody to ever be confused with that as well either. My half is his half. His half is my half. There's no lines between that. But remember again, that he's bringing this out. He was just beginning to bring that out about that oneness that we have in him. There's no division. He said, I want it all. And let me tell you something. When he gets to Revelation and he says, look, I'm going to have you stand before them and I'm going to make known that I have loved you and I'm going to have them come down and bow down before you and worship you. Let me tell you something. There's no more oneness than that. I just can't imagine. So, what he's bringing us through. I just go back to Hebrews where we started some almost 3 years ago now. The better. The better, the better, the better. Praise God. Okay, so we have this grace that we received when we accepted Christ, and it wasn't in vain. But again, brothers and sisters, receive it. Don't receive it in vain. Continue to receive that grace of God. Grow up into Him in all things. The word of His what? Of His grace. Praise God. It all perfectly comes together, doesn't it? All right. Verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound. And again, I can't imagine Him saying this about the Corinthians. But then again, I can't even imagine Him saying this about me. How about you? Huh? As ye abound. Look where these brothers and sisters have come from and where they're at now. Praise God. The growth in everything. And what is everything? Faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is believing the Word of God, that this is for me. The simplicity that's in the gospel. That when the Word of God says something, He is saying that to you. And it is for you. It's yours. It's got your name on it. I hope you believe God that way. He's that personal. And I believe that's the intimacy that He brings us into. As we really go on without the camp, you'll find that that camp whittles all the way down to where it's just you and Jesus. It is. Precious thing. Hallelujah. We're here together and praise God as a body here, but He's dealing with us individually this evening. And that's how He has seen us. And I'm so thankful that He deals with us that way. All right. So everything in faith and utterance, that means in professing. I'm going to move along here a little bit. And in knowledge, that's the understanding. And in all diligence, there's the testimony that comes out. By the grace of God, to be diligent, to tend unto the things of the Lord without distraction. And in your love to us, see that ye abound. And this word abound here means superabound. It means to increase. It means to excel. This is the key to everything, to embrace this abounding in this grace also. It's the key to becoming a mature son of God. That's it. It is all by grace. Praise the Lord. It was all done upon that cross. Everything. Everything. Thank you, Jesus. I speak not by commandment. See, this isn't out of duty. Absolutely not. This is because you see the grace of God and you say, Lord, I just love You for what You've done. I can't help but love You for what You've done. I want to please You not because I'm in fear of what You're going to do to me if I don't. I just want to please You because You love me. You love me, so You continue to love me. I appreciate, Lord, all these failures, all these disappointments, really, in my life. Because what it's shown me is that, you know what? You still love me. Nothing will ever separate me from Your love. I am in Your hand. You look at me. You love me in those eyes that You look at me. Praise God. The fear, as we talked about in those 28 planks, was the fear of disappointing the Lord. I don't want to disappoint You, Lord. I want to please You. And faith pleases You. Isn't that wonderful? You couldn't be any more pleasing to the Lord than what we're doing this evening. Isn't that something? Just coming together and searching His Word. Being built up in His Word. Praise the Lord. See how simple it is. So I speak not of commandment. This is out of love. But by occasion of the forwardness of others. There's eagerness of these others to receive this from you. And to prove or have proof of the sincerity of your love. See, this is the fruit. And what's that fruit? Again, it all comes by the grace of God. Now here we go. This is such a wondrous verse. Boy, what a scripture. What a scripture. For ye know. See, there's no doubt here. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, man. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty might be rich. Now, I want to just touch upon some of that richness. Let's go over to John 17:5. Jesus, in his wonderful conversation with God the Father. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. With the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He left that. I mean, he left that for you. He left that. You got something to live for, don't you? Praise God, you got something to live for. He left that. Colossians 1:16, let's go over there. For by him were all things created. You want to know who made things? You want to know how they got here? Here's your answer. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he left that. And he left that. Now, let's talk about the poverty. And you know what's so precious here is that he brought me wealth not because of his power or his might or his glory, or his wisdom. He brought me wealth because of his poverty. Think of that. It's because he gave it up. And yes, he became a man. And I'm so thankful that he became a man. Because then I know that my dear Lord understands me. He understands you. He didn't just make it. He lived it. Amazing. But he did. Understands how to comfort us. Because not only did he create it, he became that wonderful man. Okay? But then not only did he become man, he became death, didn't he? Okay, now he died for you. Just think. Praise God. Now, it says it's appointed unto men once to die, and then the second death. But we understand that as Christians, we never die. That's just talking about that sleep. And praise God, may not even have to face that. Might even get that over with tonight. Praise the Lord. But he became death. But you know, then he became sin. He became your sin. He became your sin. That's the poverty. That's everything that he became. So that I could become. So that I could call him Father. I got the richest dad there's ever been. Oh my. I hope we understand the wealth, the acceptance, oh, the very access and dwelling place that we have. In the palace. In the throne room. I'm seated together with him in the heavens in Christ. I'm there. I'm not just a citizen. I am an heir of God today. You're an heir of God. Isn't that wonderful? I'm an heir. But praise the Lord for the calling of this abundant grace. It wants me to be a joint heir.
Thank you, God.
Oh, hallelujah. That I, through His poverty, might be rich. Might be able to reign jointly with Him. That when I see Him by the grace of God, I am going to be like Him. That's how rich you are. That's how rich you are. Oh, hallelujah, what He's done. And verse 10 goes on to say, and herein I give my advice. Oh, after that mighty, mighty verse, He says, okay, I'll tell you, I'm just going to give you some advice. For this is expedient for you. This is profitable for you. Who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So you had planned to do this a year ago. You had really thought in your heart that this would come out of you even a year ago. But you need to listen to this prophet I'm going to give you. The buds are there, but let it blossom. Don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word also. Isn't that something? Okay, let's keep reading here. Now therefore, now, today, right now, don't delay. Perform, that means complete it. Let it be finished, the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, and I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I meet so many people that are so ready to will. It's easy to conceive an idea, a thought, but it's the follow-through that's the most important. The finishing is the hardest part. It is. In everything we do. I was used to hear that expression, oh, got all these big ideas and nowhere to go. I remember in business, I used to hire these different people and oh, they had these big ideas. What I was looking for was somebody that would follow through and get it done. But you know what? It's rare. Even naturally speaking, it is very rare. Spiritually speaking, it's even more so. Because it comes to the point of really, I will go, Lord. Amen. And in I will go, Lord, I didn't just stay in the tent with my family. I actually went out there and I got on the camel. Yeah. That stinky beast. And here we go. And I'm going after this guy. I never met him, but boy, he sure sounds good. Hallelujah. I pray that we know him, though, in this word. All right, let's move along so we can just get through this next part. So again, what he's asking us here is, see, anyone can be encouraged, but so few follow through. And if we truly give of ourselves to him, he really will possess everything and will become a cheerful giver. We'll want him to will and to do in our life. We'll want that. We'll want to receive that. We'll go after that. There won't be a fear in what it will cost. Like Brother Paul said, he said, I went through all of these things, but you know what? And I've suffered the loss of all these things. But I count it all dung. Just to know him, just the excellency of that. Praise God. It's not worthy to be compared, he said. I don't want to get caught up into my suffering. Sure, it's not comfortable. I understand that. I know it's not. But I don't want to get caught up into that. I want to get caught up into you, Lord. I want to know your word that tells me that this is more profitable than gold tried in the fire. That there's no other way that this is ever going to happen in my life. There's no other way that this blossom is ever going to be. Unless I enter in and I'm willing to go the way of suffering with you. Yeah. Count it all joy? Oh Lord, get us to that point. And I believe He is. That's the exciting part. So, for if there be first a willing mind, praise God, there's got to be a willingness in us. It is accepted according that a man hath, not according to that he hath not. And that's that wonderful story there about the widow's mite. The reward is according to the abundance of the heart, not the amount given. Well, as long as I get the building named after me, I'll give that. Smiting my chest, huh? Look what I gave. But you know, the Lord saw that little widow. And He said she gave more than they all. And I'm sure they didn't even know what He was talking about. But see, the Lord knew. It was just like all those in that throng of people that were after Him. Oh, Lord, this. You know, I need this. I know there was one woman that believed Him. And He said, who touched me? Don't you want to be the person that says that He was talking about who touched me? You know how you touch Him? You believe Him. So you're not after there for anything else. It's not the miracle. It's not all these things. It's, Lord, I know it's You. I believe You. I was listening to a sweet brother. He was, and I'm sure Brother Roy would love me to tell this testimony. It was when he was first come to the Lord, and Sister Mildred introduced him to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here he was, this little baby Christian. And where do they take him? Out to Mammoth Garden out here in the 1950s. And who shows up? This man who really had a gift of healing. So they were having a healing meeting out there. And the different ones came out, and quite a few of the brothers and sisters from this meeting even went out there. I don't know if you remember that sister, but they had went out there in the 50s, and they were there. And so the man said, well, whoever wants to be delivered from smoking tonight, why don't you stand up? And well, he was just sitting there, and he was a smoker. And he said, well, if I didn't stand up, my wife was going to make me stand up, because she kept elbowing me and hitting me and go, get up now, get up. You need the deliverance from this. Oh, and he said, oh, I was so embarrassed. So I stood up. And then he said, can you imagine? He said, to put up my hand. And oh, man, put up my hand like this. And it was just kind of limpy and wimpy and all this. And he said, I heard somebody said, put up your hand. And he said, I just stretched forth my hand. And I put my hand up. And he said, the man prayed over me. And he said, I had my hand on this chair in front of me. And it was just a bunch of old little chairs and everything. And he said, I know something hit me at that moment. And he said, I didn't even say about it for a few days. But he said to his wife, he said, you know what hit me? He said there were people that were tearing up their cigarettes in there and throwing them on the ground. And there were a couple brothers with me that also were smokers at that time. Didn't affect them at all. And here I was, the baby of babies. But I knew the Lord touched me. I know the Lord touched me. And he said, I never touched a cigarette ever again. He said, I didn't even really know Him at all. He said, I just believed that Jesus was for me. And he said, at that moment, he said, I knew that there was something for me. He touched me. He touched me. Hallelujah, He touched me. And this is what it is. It's out of the abundance of the heart, brothers and sisters. It's not what you can bring. It's what He can do. And I love this. I'm so thankful. Yes, it's to be a cheerful giver. But I hope you see the abundance of what the Lord is bringing in this passage to us. For I mean not, and we'll finish this up, that other men be eased and ye burdened. They were getting a little concerned here. He said, well, are we supposed to support everybody here, Lord? I mean, Paul, are you inquiring that we're going to support all these churches everywhere just because the Lord's given us the increase? Brother Paul knew what was going on. He said, I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. May be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want. That there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Again, speaking there of the manna, all were satisfied. They gathered according to their need. But what was so precious here, brothers and sisters, in life it is inevitable. As we've been talking and rejoicing in, there's a season for everything. There is. There's a season, and you're going to have different seasons in your life. And the Lord's going to give you time of fat or increase. And then there's going to be some time of lean. Because He's got to show you these different things. And we need to learn to be content in whatsoever state we're in. So he's got to bring us through these times. But what he's encouraging these brothers and sisters is he said, you know what? Some are going to have more than others at certain times. And vice versa. But be aware of your brother's need. Just allow the love of God to work. And be a giver as I have given you. Doesn't that just kind of sum it all up? Just let him work through you. Let him move your life. This isn't, in a sense, having pity. This is having the passion of the Lord. Because a lot of times we give our monies to the wrong places. Because we give out of guilt. Oh yeah, been there, I know. Huh? Given out of necessity, wrong thing. Given out of duty, wrong thing. God wants to establish a cheerful heart in you. And that's all by the grace of God. And it's just falling in love with Him and allowing His love to continue to work through you. And I believe by the grace of God, His will be done. And it'll happen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You for Your word this evening. We pray that, again, by Your grace, that it would work effectually in us. Take these words and, again, cause us to live the abundant life. Lord, You've made it so plain in Your word that, again, the blessings are there. All the spiritual blessings in the heavens, they're there. Help us have the faith to live these blessings. Help us to have the faith to step out and come out from among them and come out of this philosophy, come out of ourselves, come out of our selfishness, come out of our stinginess, come out of all of those things. And Lord, bring us into promise. Bring us into joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let us believe You that Your way is right. Let us believe You. It's that simple. We ask it. I know that You're able. I know that You're more willing to give than we are even to receive it. And so I ask You, Lord, help us to, again, submit to You. In Jesus' name, amen.